Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Job to start with, the book of Job. And then I'm going to ask you to go to Luke chapter 2. We'll start in the book of Job this evening. Chapter 1 and verse 1, a Old Testament description of a man that's familiar to all of us, Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now go to Luke chapter 2. While you're turning there, don't forget Wednesday night is the Awana Awards night, and that's a special night for our young people. They have worked hard, and their leaders have worked hard all year to instill within these young people the Word of God and to do their lessons and have fun along with it. But it's a big night. You may not have children in Awana or even grandkids, but you need to come and support those who have labored diligently. So it's a big night, and I want to encourage you to come. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. Now, without being irreverent, I want to ask you tonight, what do you think Job and Jesus had in common? And many things could come to your mind, I suppose. For instance, they both suffered a great deal. They were both misunderstood by their friends, and they both prayed to their Father in heaven. Before you go further, though, let me tell you what I think can be concluded from these two texts that we've read this evening about what they have in common. And that is, they were both men of sterling character. And tonight I want to talk about character, some character concepts. This is kind of an introductory or foundational message. I'd like to bring a couple more at least Sunday night and maybe some Wednesday nights also in the summer, when the summer starts in a couple weeks, our summer Wednesday night program. But it's becoming increasingly difficult to find men and women of character in this age in which we live. Even many people who name the name of Christ and are called Christians lack character in today's world. Someone suggested that the first thing to be done by a biographer in estimating a man's character is to examine the stubs of his checkbook. Now, that's not a bad idea, because Jesus said where a man's heart is, or where his treasure is, there will his heart be also. And so that's a good, maybe one good barometer of what character is. And in fact, if many of us or many Christian people or many church members were subjected to that test, we would find ourselves lacking. There would be a great dearth in Christendom of old-fashioned character this evening. Our nation is bankrupt spiritually and morally because we are governed by men and sometimes by women who are lacking character. Our homes are in a shambles because the missing ingredient of character has not been taught or caught in the homes of today's world. Our schools are often veritable jungles, neither sane nor safe, because there's a lack of old-fashioned character training and teaching. An author who was well-known said, to be capable of respect is also as rare as to be worthy of it. To be capable of respect is also as rare as to be worthy of it. And to find a man or a woman of character is becoming increasingly rare indeed. I do not know of anything more needed today in this world in which we live than character. It is so lacking. Another man said, the crown and glory of life is character. It is the noblest possession of man. And again, he who lives for anything less than character is mean, or little is what the word means there. He who lives for anything less than character is mean. He who enters upon any study, pursuit, or amusement, or pleasure, or habit, or course of life without considering its effect upon character is not trusty or not an honest person. He whose modes of thought, states of feeling, everyday acts, and common language, and whole outward of life are not directed by a wise reference to character, is a man always to be watched, or a woman to be watched. So I want to talk about character this evening, and just basically, in this introductory study, the meaning of character. It's interesting. Abraham Lincoln said, "Character is like a tree, and reputation is like the shadow. The shadow is what you think of it, and the tree is the real thing." Interesting concept there. It's easier to describe character than it is to define it, I think, as I've studied through it. For instance, if I were asked to describe a man or a woman of character, you might say, well, that's a person of strong convictions. By the way, may I just pause here to say, I hope you're going to vote Tuesday. I meant to say something earlier about it, but it's going to be election day. The focus of the nation is rarely now upon Indiana. But we have a God-given responsibility and privilege to vote. And I pray that you'll exercise that and do so as intelligently as possible. Pray before you go. Pray earnestly every day that God's will be done, not only this vote Tuesday, but in the elections coming up. Well, if I were to ask you to describe a man of character or a woman of character, you might say, well, that's a person of strong convictions, a bold, dogged determination, impeccable integrity, flawless in loyalty and dependability. Some Bible characters immediately might come to your mind. You think of somebody who would fit that description: Joseph, Daniel, and Moses. Men of integrity, people of flawless loyalty, dependability, integrity, and they were people of character. Let me just talk about the meaning of the word, the etymology or the origin of the word. First of all, and I wish I had an overhead. I'm not really a very good overhead teacher, but I'd like to put some words up on the overhead, but you'll have to imagine them there this evening. There is a Latin word that is spelled C-A-R-A-C-T-E-R-E, character. It's almost similar to our English word. Character, maybe it's more correctly pronounced. And it means a mark or distinctive quality. A mark or distinctive quality. Thus, the character of a person is that which distinguishes him or her. Maybe when you think of a certain person, you think of a stately individual who is somewhat sober, but yet has a good sense of humor. Somebody that you can always, their word is as good as gold. You can go to the bank on their word. Person of character. Well, the Latin word means that. It means a distinguishing mark. It could be good or bad. Somebody described John Dillinger, the outlaw, as a Robin Hood type of man. Or outlaw, a Robin Hood type of outlaw. Well, that conjures up a picture in your mind of an outlaw that was considered to be a good outlaw, if you can consider that at all. That's the Latin word character. Now, there's a Greek word also, but if you went to Strong's Concordance, go back to Betty's book room after the service, if you don't have one, and purchase one. There, she's got a couple on the shelf, Strong's Concordance of the English of the Bible. She's got one there for $15.95. I checked this morning. You ought to have one. If you don't have one, that's a little plug, Betty, for Betty's bookstore. But buy that Strong Concordance, take it home, open it up, and turn to the word character, and you won't find it. It doesn't occur in the Bible. That's very interesting, I think. The word character, and we use it often. I'm using it tonight. I'm preaching a message on it. Not in the English Bible that you have in your hands this evening. There are, however, some Greek words, and this is where I need the overhead, for that mean character, mean same thing as we mean when we use the word character. For instance, there's the word, I'll try to pronounce it in the Greek, charakter is the word. And it's a X-A-R-A-K-T-A-R. That's not the way the Greek letters are, but that's kind of a transliteration of it. That word means a graving instrument, the instrument by which a mark, scratch was made on an object. The mark stamped upon the instrument. A mark or figure burned on an object or instrument. Now, we're living in a digital age, so they're not doing this as much anymore, but I had a plaque on my wall. I meant to bring it. There's some letters engraved on that plaque. It was given to me in 1989 by, I think, the church, maybe by the deacons, for 10 years of service here as your pastor. And but it was there were words stamped, engraved onto that plaque, onto the metal of the plaque. That's the idea, and most of you can, I think, relate to that in some way. We've seen impressions or exact likenesses stamped on objects. And the Greek word that appears in the Greek, character, means the engraving instrument or the scratch that was made, or the mark that was made by the instrument, or the figure burned upon the object. Now, let me give you some Bible verses, if I might, this evening. Got your Bibles open. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because though the word is not translated character, the concept certainly occurs in our New Testament English Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 reads this way, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image..." Wait a minute, there's another word. It's the word, it's not the word character that I just referred to, but it's the English word icon. Icon. "The image of God should shine into them." These two words, icon and character, are used almost interchangeably. And I've got to give you a definition of let me give you a definition of the word icon, which appears here in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians. Let's look at the verse again, just the last phrase. "Who's the image?" Got to make a mental note. If not, if you want to take a note in your margin, image is the Greek word E-I-X-W and then N. Icon is the way it's pronounced in the English. It's the word image. It's a conventionalized graphic device placed upon an object as an indication of ownership or relationship. In other words, we'd say it's a brand stamped onto or burned into, like cattle were branded. That's icon. It's a graphic device placed upon an object as an indication of ownership. Or, here's another definition, one of the attributes or features that make up and distinguish an individual. Or another one, moral excellence and firmness. Now, you have in your computer today, you get on your computer tomorrow, you have icons at the top of the... And I'm not much of a computer man, so I can't really speak at ease about all that stuff. But icons is a word that we're familiar with. Little images. There might be a mailbox. That's mail. I think I know that. That's about one of the things I do know. That's a mail. We have icons or icons, the Greek word icon, English. We have icons or images. There's one on my car, that red Chevrolet that I drive. It's an image of an Impala, a little metal streak. You ever seen one of those? When you see that, well, most of you don't look like you have, but it's a metal Impala. That's an animal. It's the name of the car, Impala. It goes like a streak. Really moves out. It's an Impala. Well, there's an image on that car. You see it on advertisements, television. A blur. An Impala. Well, I don't drive that way, by the way. I drive very slowly. I know you wonder why I have an Impala, but I'm very slow. I'm an old drive like an old man. If you drive down the highway and see a billboard with a man that's dressed like a Quaker, the old tall hat and the Quaker, what do you think of? Oatmeal. Because of the image, that Quaker man. He's a universal almost image of Quaker oats, oatmeal. If you see a 12-point buck coming up a mountain and then they freeze the frame right there, what do you think of? Hartford Insurance. Anybody say that? I didn't hear. Hartford, that's an icon or an image that conjures up in your mind some certain attribute or a distinguishing mark of a person or thing or individual. So, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4:4 with that in mind, because the word icon is the word translated image here. Who is the icon, who is the image of God? That's speaking of Jesus Christ. The antecedent there is Christ, who is the icon of God. When you see Christ, you immediately think of God. That's the idea. He embodies all the character of God. He is the image. Let me give you another verse. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. Go to that verse if you would, please. Hebrews 1:3. And in this verse, not the word icon, but the word character is the word, the Greek word. Could have translated it character, the English word, but they chose to translate it image, just like they did in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Different word, but the same translation. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of His glory, this is, of course, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image, character is the word there in the Greek, and the express character or likeness or representation of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. There's a third word, actually, of Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, morphe is the word there, form, it's translated, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form, morphe again, of a servant. There's a process involved there. There was a change. God came down and was born of a virgin. Was made in the likeness of men. God actually morphed into the likeness of man. He was made, and there was a process, and He grew, as we saw in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. That's why the word morphe is chosen, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. One more verse or two, Romans chapter 8. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. I hate to belabor you with word studies, but this I think is important, and this is a foundational message. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. The Bible says, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the icon, image of His Son. When you see Him, you think of the Father. In fact, Jesus said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I'm the express image. I bear the likeness, the exact likeness of the Father, Jesus was saying, and the Bible writers were saying about Him. Another verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are morphed or changed into the same image. I don't have my Greek New Testament. I forget. It is the word icon in that verse. It's the word icon. Into the same icon from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. These verses and others that we could cite are talking about character. And character is an image, a distinguishing characteristic, a mark stamped upon us. Let me give you my definition, my humble definition of character. It is the moral, spiritual, and ethical makeup of an individual that governs his thoughts, words, deeds, and expresses his mind, soul, and spirit. It's you. Character. Could have a bad character. Could have a deficient character. You could have a good character. William James, the psychologist, said it is well for the world that most of us, by the age of 30, the character has set like plaster and will never soften again. Well, that was an unregenerate psychologist who said that, but there's a measure of truth in it. Take a little child and he learns or she learns, their character is formed and fashioned and molded from the earliest days upon this earth. And James was probably generous in saying by the time they're 30, it's set in plaster or concrete. By the grace of God, it can be changed. Amen. He was reckoning without, apart from the grace of God. But apart from God's grace, it's set. It's set. Somebody said, you cannot dream yourself into character. You must hammer and forge yourself into character. Woodrow Wilson said, character is a byproduct. It is produced in the great manufacture of daily duty. Character. It is our goal, I think as believers, it should be our goal to daily strive to strengthen and deepen our character. No word or act or thought should cross our minds or mouth without consideration as to its effect upon us as individuals, its effect upon our character. goes to the core of our being as believers. We have been created, as we saw in Romans chapter 8, to be conformed to the image, to bear the exact stamp, to be walking icons in this world of wickedness, this world that's rebelling against God, in this world that wants nothing to do with our Savior, to be walking icons, Christians, Christ ones in this darkened world, so that when people see us, they'll see Jesus. Like when they saw Jesus, they saw the Father. He was the express icon, image, character. He bore His likeness, His exact image. It was stamped on Him. He was made in the likeness. And so it is with us. When we walk and work and move about in this world, we ought to so bear the image of Jesus, because we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son, so that His stamp is on us. One more verse, Colossians chapter 3, and verse 10. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 10. The Bible says, and, speaking to us, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. That new man is renewed in the knowledge after the image, after the icon, the exact stamp or image of Him that created him. That's our job. There was a famous sculptor who lived in Paris who had completed a great work of art. And it's now in today in one of a famous museum in France. He was a genius, and this was his last work. But like many artists of not only his day, but this day, he was very poor. He lived in a small shack. It was without heat. It was a workshop, a studio, and a bedroom all combined. And he had this statue almost finished. And it sat before him in the middle of a fireless room on a cold night in Paris. In fact, it was going to get down very cold as the chilly air set in and came down upon him. He knew that if the cold got more intense, the water in the clay would freeze and it would ruin his work of art. And so he took his bedclothes and his blankets, whatever he could muster, and all the clothing he could find, and wrapped that statue up very tightly. And when in the morning his friends came in, they found the old sculptor dead, but the image was saved. The old sculptor was dead. Let me give you the application of that illustration, which I thought was striking. The image is worth saving at any cost, to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is priceless. There's a divine artist at work in our life, moment by moment, forming a work of art in you and through you. Cherish it. Protect it. Highly value it. Because that's all that we really have in Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, who's renewed after in the knowledge after the image. After the image. Put on the new man daily. It's not something you do once in a lifetime and then it's done. No, daily put on. Put off the old, put on the new. By surrendering, by yielding, by subjecting your will to the Holy Spirit, put on the new man moment by moment, so that you will be in the image of Him that created him. You'll bear Christ's image, and He bore God's image. And we'll be all that God wanted us to be. Pray with me as we study character in 2008. I've given you a foundational study of what it means. Remember those couple words, icon. You got that in your mind, icon. It's an exact likeness, or it's a symbol, or it's a representation of, when you see it, you think of something else. When you see Jesus, you think of the Father. When the world sees you, it should think of Christ. We ought to bear His image in this world. We ought to have His character implanted on us and in us. Father, help us in this world in which we live, to be men and women of character. Help us to be icons of Jesus, images, exact likenesses. Oh, that's what we were predestinated to be conformed to, the image of Christ. Lord, help us to morph, to be changed day by day from glory to glory, as it said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, so that we will be the exact image that You want us to be, reflecting Your glory, reflecting Your person in this world. Speak to us about character. Such a dearth of it, Lord. We cannot have any character. We will only be characters unless we have true character, and that is character of Christ, the character of Christ. So teach us as we study in the weeks ahead about what is character and how is it manifested? How does it play itself out in our everyday, workaday lives? Speak to us tonight through this Word and draw people to our knees, Lord. Draw us to our knees to the point we're willing to say, yes, Lord, would You stamp Thine own image deep on my heart? Oh, to be like Thee, just to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. May that be our prayer tonight and this week and the weeks ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.